Okay, nothing heard. Good evening, everybody. This is K2BAR. I am Double Kia 2 Tango Tango Tango. My name is Gordon, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. Net is open to everyone who is licensed to operate in the 2-meter band. You do not need to be a BAR member. We do encourage check-ins whether or not you have a question or a comment, because sometimes the mere presence of certain individuals provokes good dialogue. So please make your presence known and just don't stand by and listen. If you have the ability to put a signal on 2-meter band to the repeater, please let us know you're out there. Subjects for the TechNet are pretty much anything related to amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computing, and anything in our wonderfully blessed society that uses those things, which is a nice way of saying, you pretty much talk about whatever you like. So with that in mind, let's talk about how we check in. We will be checking in station checks in with their call sign, their name, and whether or not they have a question or a comment, or none of the above. We do it in an orderly way. We do it breaking down by call sign group. And so, just to make it fun, since we haven't done this in a while, let's make the day of our good friends who have KC2 calls. If you have a KC2 call, go right ahead and check in with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above. Please call K2BAR.
KC2SGF, no questions or comments.
Okay, good evening, Rachel. KC2SGF, W2TTT, or K2BAR, whatever that is. No big deal. Alrighty, any other KC2s?
Comments, just listening.
Sorry, we doubled. You kind of dropped out, and then I keyed up over top of you again.
How about that?
Station who just came in, could you come back again? Station said they were just listening. Alrighty, we'll try for plan B. Any other Kilo Charlie 2s?
This is KC2TBD. Do you hear me?
I do, KC2TBD, K2BAR. I think it's Ronald, and do you have any questions or comments for the net, Ronald?
I don't know what it's caused by. That may be one of our questions that we have.
I'm sorry, Ronald, you're dropping out, and I didn't realize I talked over you again. So your question is, what is it that's causing you to drop out?
Well, my question is, why we're getting a crackling sound when you communicate over the radio to us.
Let me inquire. Rachel, am I giving, am I issuing a crackling sound?
Just at the release of the repeater. Your signal is clear until you release your handset.
Okay, that's normal. That's what they call a ka-chunk. That's fine. I think Ronald was making a reference to something else, but okay. All right, we'll come back to that. That's good. Maybe we should talk about that, both your observation, Rachel, and also Ronald's as well. All right, any other KC2s? Any other Kilo 2s? Any flavor? Okay, any Alpha calls? Please call with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
KF2ID, I have no question or comment.
Okay, Ben, very good. KF2ID, fancy meeting you here. Good 440 net tonight. Small, but very good. Lively conversation. albeit interrupted as well, but that's still good. Thank you for doing that. Any other Kilo calls? Okay, let's go to the next thing. How about whiskey calls? Anybody with a whiskey call with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment or none of the above. Please call KTBAR.
This is W2JEK, done, no question.
W2JEK, got you, Don. Thank you very much. Any other whiskeys?
This is WE2R. No question.
Okay, Charlie, very good. WE2R. K2BAR. We're all fumbling all over our call time tonight. Alrighty, any other whiskey calls? Okay, November calls. Please call KTBIR with your call sign, your name, and whether or not you have a question or comment.
Is NS2KHM, no question at this point.
Ooh, however, I'd like you to comment with an NAB report if you don't mind. What was cool? Would you mind doing that a little bit?
We get around to it, okay.
I think we got a short list, so I think we're going to get around to it right after we address Ronald's question and Rachel's answer, which was even, you know, brought up another important point. Any other November calls? Okay. Anybody else? Late check-in, any call signs?
2AMI, Tony.
2ORX.
My Tony and KC2RX Robert. Tony and then Robert, do either of you have a question or comment for the net?
Sorry, no real question, but some discussion about a Moxon antenna. So I do have a comment, I guess.
So noted. All right. Any other things from you, Robert?
Negative, Gordon. Not tonight.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Please call KTBAR. Alrighty. So, the next subject, I guess, is Ronald suggested there was a crackling on my signal. We're going to go back to Ronald on that point. And when I asked Rachel to confirm it, she said, no, you're clear until the end when there's a sound that sounds like this. That little ch- that is called a squelch tail. Some repeaters suppress them, other repeaters do not. There's various ways to suppress those tails. Sometimes your radio will suppress them as well, depending on how it's set up with the tone. But anyway, that is called a squelch tail, and that's what you heard. So, before I go back to Ronald, Rachel, do you understand that principle now? Okie doke. All right. And Ronald, any more to your question about crackling? Snap, crackle, pop.
Well, Gordon, let me tell you what I have observed so far. First, I'm having difficulty hearing you. And I've heard this on 443.1 when you're not close to the mic. That's one problem. The problem with the cracking seems to be with everybody on this particular frequency. On 443.1, we didn't have this crackling sound. On 146.19, we do have this crackling sound. And everybody is producing it as far as I receive it over here. That is what the problem is.
W2JEK.
Are you hearing what I'm hearing, Don? But go ahead.
Yeah, I'm hearing a clicking noise. I guess if you use the technical term impulse noise, where you hear little clicks, like tiny little spikes in there. Not eggs frying, but little clicks, if you understand what I'm saying. Over.
Yeah, that's right. I'm hearing impulse noise, the popping sound. And Ronald doesn't sound very strong. He's got a hissing sound. And they actually heard airplane flutter on his signal. Tony, can you take the net for a moment? Or actually, Don, you take the net. You're talking on the subject. I'll be right back. I have to take a phone call real quick. W2TTT.
Okay, this is W2JEK, and I don't know who's all out there, but basically what we've discovered is that this clicking noise that you're speaking about is not just from one person, but from several stations, so it's obviously not some one person's transmitter. It's coming from the repeater, either something in the receive section of the repeater or something on the transmit portion of the repeater, somewhere along the line, that noise is being generated, the clicking sound. And I don't know just how, what, where, I don't know how we go about isolating that. I guess if somebody was at the repeater site, they could listen to the, probably be a way to listen to the audio on the output of the receiver portion before it goes into the transmitter and determine it that way. That's something they'd have to deal with. I don't know just what caused it either. K2AMI, this is W2JK. Do you have any thoughts on this subject, over?
I'm back in turn. Go ahead, Tony.
But understand, guys, the repeater essentially is a repeater. A repeater, okay? And there must be some clicking noise coming in on the input of the signal into the repeater, and it's being relayed out to the output. I don't believe the repeater itself is in any way at fault. I think it's detecting some extraneous pulsing that's coming from some source outside of the actual physical repeater itself. So nothing you can do about it. It's not going to be fixed by the repeater repairman because it's not in the repeater. It'll only have to be determined the source, and very likely we can't even correct that source. It's probably out of our control, so ignore it and use it for what we can use it for. Back in that control. Pick it up there, Gordon.
Well, I agree with your last part, but it could be in the repeater. It could be in that part of the repeater where the audio has been demodulated as an audio baseband, and it's somehow picking up some, you know, clicking sounds, et cetera, and on the audio signal, and therefore it's on the modulated carrier. I'm hearing it as well, the popping a little bit. The what do they call it, the more consistent hiss, that's more of a function of you know, the fact that one or more of us may not be full quieting of the repeater. Now, Ronald, I actually heard on the transmission where you clarified the question, not one, but two instances of what sounded like airplane fade or multipath, meaning a signal was bouncing off of two different sources, and they were arriving out of phase. So I could hear on your signal. That's pretty cool. So, that's usually a phase differential. I don't know what it is. My phone's been ringing off the hook tonight. Everybody knows I'm not available at 9 o'clock. But anyway. So, Ronald, why don't you take it and see what see if that resonates with you.
You know, it's rather interesting. Sometimes when you speak close to the mic or whatever you're doing on that end, you come in very clear. And there is a a lessening of that crackling sound, or at least there's much greater clarity, and it doesn't seem to be a great problem. But when you are away from the microphone and you're not speaking clearly, then it's a problem. And this goes for almost everybody who has spoken. I have received some very good transmissions with minimal amounts of that crackling noise. And I've seen some that are totally inaudible because the crackling sound seems to overwhelm the communication.
Ron, I have a question. How strong is the repeater to you?
What is that question again? Please repeat it.
How strong does the repeater appear to you?
It's 9 on my instrument over here, so it's coming through pretty strong.
Okay, very good. Alrighty, I'll tell you what. Then I think that, if I recall, you have an indoor antenna, and I think the multipass may have been off of that. But why don't you confirm that and see if Tony or Don have a comment to pass along to you about what your antenna might be and the nature of the source of the multipath, of the derivation of the multipath signal that I'm hearing some fading intermittently on your signal. KC2TBD from K2BAR.
I'm having difficulty hearing you again. It was clear for a while, and then suddenly whatever you said is not clear to me at all.
KF2ID, KKBAR. Gordon, you read me?
KF2ID, this is W2JEK. He must have stepped away for a minute. Wait a second, let's see if he comes back. KQBAR, this is W2JEK, over.
Anyways, I did notice one thing here, that when the tone came on, you know, the beep, 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 you know, the Morse code, there was zero crackling noise. So, of any kind, any pulse noise or anything, the tone was absolutely clean. So that indicates to me, of course, there's nothing in the modulator, there's nothing in the transmitter that's causing this. So I tend to, of course, there still could be something in the receiver. But so I tend to agree with Tony. There was probably something in the neighborhood that's causing some interference of some kind. Although it still could be in the receiver end, I guess, the modulation end. But at least from the modulation to the transmitter end, there's nothing going on. As far as Ron's statement about Gordon, I don't understand it. I'm a little confused. He says he's got an S9 signal, and he said Gordon's signal faded on him, and when he said Gordon's signal faded on him, the mirror, Gordon's signal is perfectly clear. So I'm a little confused at this point. It sounds like Ron's got a little receiving problem there, or whether it's reflections or what, but there's something going on in Ron's setup because when he said the Gordon signal was bad, to me it was excellent. KF2ID.
Okay, Ben, KF2ID, W2JEK, good observation. Alright, the thought I had in mind, when we listen here between stations, we do hear some chatter from the Connecticut repeater. And I'm wondering if that's intermingling with some of our people's, our signals, and somehow causing it that way. That would be interesting to have to, hard to tell when you're actually transmitting on the, although we're actually receiving them. We're receiving them from their repeater, which is on 7.9, not on the input frequency. So anything that repeats on the input would be something that's on the input frequency that would come through the repeater, and it goes away when the ID device takes over. At least that's what it looks like so far. That's a possibility, too. There's some spiking in the area, arcing insulator, or who knows what, the power circuitry out in that neck of the woods. I've heard this before, not just recently, so it's an ongoing problem. Let's see if Gordon's out there. K2BAR, 2JEK.
Yeah, W2JEK, K2BAR. Yep, I'm here. And everybody's input signal is clean as a whistle. In fact, I was just listening to see if I could hear the input between transmissions. And Vernon's not even being used right now. So the other 7-9 machine up to the north, or this one to the south in Trevos, thereabouts, both are inactive at this time. So I don't think we have a big problem. In any case, what was the other thing I wanted to share, and that is that if this audio popping sound you're hearing seems to be a property of the repeater or the environment in which into which the repeater has been placed. So I think we have some more work to do to investigate that. Anyway, that's pretty much all I have on this front. Lord. You know, we're running an event this weekend, and everybody found my phone number. So, anyway, why don't we go on to Tony's announcements?
Tony's announcements. This week is the VARA meeting. Sunday night at approximately 7 o'clock, the doors open, and by 7:45, we start our Bergen Amateur Radio Association club meeting in Ridgewood at Godwin Avenue. Lost the number. I think it's 72 or something like that. Godwin Avenue, Ridgewood. It's at the Red Cross building in Godwin, in Ridgewood. And I understand that our vice president and program director, W2ML, is going to have a very interesting program that is about a video video recording session that was done. Don't know the full details of it, but it shows some techniques that are used in video recording for television broadcasting. He has one of his co-workers, a friend, who's going to be bringing over a program of some type, perhaps a PowerPoint of some type, showing this technique that was used. So that would be our program on Sunday night. Let me drop it for a second. The President's letter is up on the VARA website if anybody wants to read it before the bulletin comes out. The bulletin should be up there very shortly. I haven't seen it yet, but when it arrives at my location, we'll put it on the website. And simultaneously, you'll be getting it in your email file, so look for the VARA bulletin. It should be out before the weekend. That's number two. Let me drop it again. Of course, in calendar order would be our May 23rd VARA Hamfest. This is Saturday morning, May 23rd, rain or shine. Of course, it's at the Westwood High School in Washington Township, Westwood area. And we expect to have a good turnout. The unique character of this Hamfest is that we will have only a $2 admission charge. The door admission for buyers will be $2. The vendor's price is not going to be varied. It'll still be $15. This is a special anniversary promotion that has come up with the executive board. And, of course, our good president and his economic recovery system has suggested getting the money to flow, and maybe this is one way to help the money will flow better. Got the CQ magazine today, and there's an excellent editorial about a Hamfest, I think in Georgia someplace. Rich Moses wrote the article, and this is that Hamfest, and indicated that in his mind, Hamfests are coming back. That the internet and the eBay type sales are diminishing, and more equipment is showing up at Hamfest. So take a look, see what you can find out. Let's hope it'll work out that way. I'll stop with that, see if Mr. Gordon is back, and I have other comments about Field Day and VHF contest later in June. Back to net control there, Gordon.
And that's Stukak.
Okay, do we have another check-in?
I just had a comment, Gordon.
Hey, Jim.
The speaker is Bob Schless at ABC. And it's not recording so much. It's a live, it's how they did some live video from a moving train of which presents some interesting difficulties. The wide bandwidth that is typically used for video is rather difficult to send without tracking antennas. I don't know if they use that or not, or just, you know, what the deal was. It'll be interesting to see what the approach was. I know I was supposed to do a thing many years ago from a canoe. That was going to be interesting in the Pacific Northwest. But in that case, we were going to use a short microwave hop with hand-steered antennas, and then that would go to a land position nearby, which would have a more fixed KU uplink. In any case, yeah, let's not forget the who's he, what's it? The fox hunt coming up on the 17th. But some of us will be in Dayton. It'll be interesting who else on the net here is going to Dayton this this year. Back to net, NS2K.
This is K2AMI. I'll just add some comments. I'm sure that, among other things, Gordon is earning some income for the telephone company there by chalking up the minutes. Anyway, he's been having a lot of phone calls tonight. The Barra Fox Hunt will be the Sunday before the Hamfest. And again, we'll meet at the Westwood High School's main parking lot about noontime on Sunday, the 17th of May, with a number of guys who would like to hunt the fox this year. Charlie, N3CRT, is going to be the fox. And he says he's going to be hard to find, so let's see if we can find him. I know that last year, I think, Dick and maybe 2 years ago, Dick and one of the other teams with him, one of the guys with him, were successful in building a Moxon antenna. And I've been looking at the websites for a Moxon antenna for 2 meters. And I find that I don't have any heavy gauge copper wire as suggested, or something similar. Does anybody have number 6 or number 8 copper wire, heavy wire that can be not stranded necessarily? I prefer mono strand or single solid number 6 and number 8. I could use probably about 6 foot of it if you've got it. Let me know. Let's turn it back to the net control on the phone.
KF2ID to K2AMI. I don't have any of the wire, but if you don't find anybody who does have it, I believe Home Depot sells number 8. I did buy some number 8 a number of years ago. I assume they still have it for a ground wire.
Thank you, Ben. But that means I got to spend money. I'm sure it's not reasonable in price. There's got to be someone in somebody's junk box.
I don't think 6 feet will break it.
Comment again, repeat. I think that sounded like it might be Tom.
WA2CAI, I was just making a nasty statement. 6 feet will break it.
No, I guess not. I guess not. But us retired people have to watch our pennies these days. Our income is diminished due to our stock market investments. And watch things carefully.
Another comment.
I'm in control, but go ahead.
From Home Depot or Lowe's or whoever, you might consider buying some of the copper tubing, like for a water feed to a refrigerator or some such thing as that. Yeah, it's a soft run copper, but it's a little bigger diameter, should give you a wider bandwidth antenna or whatever. And some of the kits are fairly modest in price. I wouldn't say cheap, but not confiscatory by any means. NS2K.
Essentially, what I figured approximately we'd need about 6 feet. I think if you buy a kit more than likely would be greater than 6 feet in length. But whatever. Unless we could share a kit with somebody else, huh? How about that? Well, I'll work on something. I'm sure I'll be able to rig up something with wire of some diameter. Let's see, anybody else? Is Gordon coming back, or is this that's going to be do-it-yourself net?
I'm coming back. I have an announcement in a moment.
Do-it-yourself net?
Do-it-yourself net means anybody can do it. anybody else with a comment to give my voice a relaxing relief here? Anybody else with comments or information, please come now.
W2K. Have a comment on the price of the material. It's not that it's 6 foot, it'll break you. It's the fact that you got to buy a 50-foot roll of the stuff. I think Radio Shack has 50-foot rolls of ground wire, the kind of stuff you attach from your TV mast to a ground stake for lightning protection. They have a number 8 gauge wire or something like that. One thing I use, Tony, if you can get away with it, and that, if you remember, I built a TDOA direction finder. I used coat hanger wire. I don't know if that would be suitable for you or not. Something to think about. Back to that K2AY, W2JK.
KF2ID again. Assuming that you cannot get it, find it elsewhere. Home Depot sells the stuff by the foot, so 6 feet is not going to amount to very much. Of course, it's cheaper when you get it for free. If somebody has it hanging around and collecting dust in the basement, you might as well put it to good use for them. But that will be cheaper than the kit or 50-foot roll for sure. KF2ID.
W2TTT. I feel like I'm the world's busiest guy, and I know I'm not. So, shall we continue? And who else wanted to comment after Ben?
Ben again, I don't want to strain K2AMI's voice, but can he fill in this a little bit about the virtues of the Maxim antenna and roughly what it looks like?
K2AMI for picking up Gordon, is that okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, in the 2 meter version, it looks like a loop antenna, except it is not. There's a front section and a rear section. They are not connected at the ends. The basic wavefront section, as indicated in the diagram I'm looking at, is 29 inches long. And then at each end is about a 6-inch fold back, and it's attached to a vertical spacer. So do you have 6 inches vertically, or horizontally rather, 29 inches vertically, and on the bottom you have again a return of 6 inches. So you can see you've got 29 plus 12, which is about 32 inches, 33 inches. No, 42 inches. Now the back is two sections. It is not one continuous wavefront. It's a two pieces that make up the 29-inch length. But in the center of their connection, there's a split of probably about a half an inch. And it's that the split between these two connections that you attach a coaxial cable. And the back section is only about 3 7/8 inches long and spaced away from the center point. So there's a horizontal section of 3 7/8, a drop down of half of 29, which I can't figure out quickly, and then a return of 3 7/8. So the back is in two sections, the front is in one section, and it's a very directional antenna. It's a loop antenna that's directional and held in a vertical position and tracking a vertical signal. becomes an ideal situation because you have a high front-to-back ratio on the antenna, and that gives you a definite pointer as to which way you're going to go. Some of the antennas that we've been using do not have a good front-to-back ratio. Even the TDOA does not determine front-to-back. It determines only the direction. So this is an ideal antenna for directivity. Does that help a little bit? And if you don't know what to do, then I went to I just typed in 2 meter or Moxon antenna for 2 meters in Google, and I came up with a WB5 Charlie X-ray Charlie 2 meter vertical Moxon, and he gives a whole picture of it and the dimensions. That's WB5 Charlie X-ray Charlie. He's built one and he's put it on the website. Back to that control.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So, the benefits are compact size and very, very directional. Those would be the two major attributes. And what was the third, if you had to pick a third attribute that you really liked, besides its directivity in front to back and compact size, what would it be?
You could add lightweight and also very, very durable. You don't have elements projecting in different directions. The whole antenna is about a foot wide, from front to back. So you have 5 and 9, 16, 8, 9. You got about 10 inches wide from front to back, so it would fit easily in a car seat without poking holes in elements and so forth.
I gotcha. Okay. Very good. Anybody else want to add to this?
I encourage you to go to his website, not his website, but look for a WB5 Charlie X-ray Charlie 2 meter vertical Moxon. I'm sure Google will find it that way.
Cool. Alrighty. This is a good thing to add. Now, has anyone ever added a director in front of one of these things?
It's kind of hard to add a director in front of this device, but I don't know how it would be constructed. There isn't any measurements or discussion on that. This is effectively a two-element beam by description, but it's not the conventional beam.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you added a director in front, one or more, how that might influence the pattern. Mechanically, I realize that the design is not set up for it, but, I think you have the concept. So look at that. Alrighty. Anybody else have any comments about this? Tony, how about you?
This website indicates that there's probably close to a 6 dB difference between the front-to-back ratio, which is significant for tracking.
Oh, sure. Okay. Very good. Alrighty. Shall we move on? What the heck? I'll take that as a yes. Alrighty. Well, a couple of things. I have a couple of dates. The one escapes me right now, but on June 7th, it's a Sunday, we will need a group of radio operators to once again do the bicycle tour of New Jersey's county-supported bike tour, the one-day ride, and it's the shorty, not the big August thing. And this year, instead of originating from Hackensack, it's going to originate from Bergen Community College. So, let's see. Last year, I think we had N2OEL, we had KC2PYB, NS2K, myself. I think later on, KC2GLG came by. I'm trying to remember who else came by, but there were a couple others. I feel embarrassed for not remembering everybody. But bottom line is that if there's interest we can, what do you call it, we can do that again, and it should be fun. Routes are a little different this year. Starting point is obviously different, so we're going to have to, you know, work on that a little bit. But if people would like to participate, see me, and we'll put together a team to go work this. So, anyway, it's a good time to practice your skills, as they say, but it'll be Sunday, June 7th. And what else? Oh, I went out and bought two sets of orange boxes today, or the other day, they came today. And they are for your reference, the Spud 7, S-U-P-D 7, which is a big 13 by 15 by 11 watertight or water resistant box. And another one is a shorter version, more like a battery box, but it's a Spud 2, I think it's called, S-U-P-D 2. So there'll be more orange box projects coming up in the future. Just let everybody, put everybody on notice that we had so much fun doing it before, we'll do some more again. I've got some new ideas, and I'm looking for ideas too, like what would you do if? So I'm looking forward to anybody's suggestions along that line as well. So, on that note, anybody else have any comments?
KC2SAV.
Go ahead, Al. Good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Long time no hear. I have a question.
Wow, the mere fact that you're here is a blessing. Now you have a question. That's like a daily double, because you usually, when you come in, don't have a question, so I'm thrilled. Go for it, Al.
All right, here's a good one now. There's these scanners going around that they block out all cellular phones. Completely block them out. They're illegal, of course, but they are around. And, of course, probably terrorists use that. Do they affect any ham radios?
Okay, let's get calibrated here. The emergency the Electronic Communications Privacy Act, or ECPA, of 1996, one of the dark sides of, you know, Mr. Gingrich's term as Speaker of the House, was to basically bow to the request of the cellular industry, among others, and also the satellite industry, for their lack of digital encryption. In those days, it was not uncommon to have an analog cell phone. So a conventional scanner tuned to the frequency in question would cheerfully decode a cellular call. There are very few cellular calls made today that are analog, and as a consequence, even the spectrum isn't used quite the same way as it used to be, and lo and behold, the fact that there's a scanner there that may be now capable of tuning the frequencies for a cell phone, does it really mean a lot? Yeah, not really. The ECPA had some other implications for satellite distribution of media content and also terrestrial non-broadcast distribution of intellectual property, for lack of a better term, that would later be put into a broadcast media, but that wasn't the broadcast media. And it restricted the monitoring those as well. But the ECPA had the cellular block, if you will, on the receivers. And even my handy talkie has one. It scans up to like 1300 megahertz, except for the cellular frequencies. It's kind of absurd since they're all digital now, but that's the gist of it. Is that what you were, you know, alluding to, Al?
It's like a double question, Gordon. The thing about it, it's supposed to block out all cellular phones in the area. It's not like a scanner. It's sort of like a radio. You put it on and you hit something and it blocks out all cellular phones in a 25 meter or 50 meter radius.
I get it. When you mean a block, you mean like a jammer?
That's exactly what I mean. They caught some, FCC caught some up in Puerto Rico. It came from Tel Aviv, Israel. And actually 25 of them that hit the correctional facility. And, you know, those jammers in the wrong hands, of course, they're going to use it for their purpose. But does that affect our, on our operation?
Well, if someone could dial up the amateur frequencies with it, sure. You know, my guess is those particular devices, I don't know how broadband they are in nature, but probably the biggest threat they are probably to the 900 band.
Okay, you answered my question then. Thanks, Gordon.
I don't think it's a big threat to the amateur spectrum unless you have a very broadband device. Surely having a cellular jammer has all sorts of implications. There were theater owners who were putting them in their theaters in order to get people to not use their cell phones in the theater, and the FCC had to explain to them, usually with a $10,000 or more dollar fine attached as part of the explanation, that they can't do that.
On the FCC web, they have this site that you go on, and it shows all the citations they've given out. I mean, since 2004 and so on and so, you know. But it's interesting how people get jammed up with those fines, and it's not small fines. It's way over $25,000 and up.
Oh, yes. I believe N2K has a contribution to make to this dialogue.
I don't know, perhaps just an emotional response, but if I were, we'll say, a doctor who had to have the bad fortune of going to a movie theater where one of these was in service, and one of my patients had a problem getting hold of me, I don't know, I would tend to be inclined to see the owner of the theater held criminally responsible for that sort of thing.
I would agree. I mean, I know in my church they just don't want them to ring audibly. It's a little, I mean, basically people who have, you know, life and property, safety, responsibilities are asked to put it on vibrate, and the rest of us are expected to leave them outside or turn them off. And so, you know, that's what people do by and large. And, you know, if you have 800 or 900 people in a church on a Sunday, and you can actually get through an hour plus long mass or service without having a phone ring that's audible, you're in pretty good shape. That means that, you know, it means everybody that day, that hour, decided to actually look at the sign on the door that just provides the guidance on the cell phone usage. So it can work. It can work. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, we have any other subjects, questions, comments, confusions? That was a good question. So we had a thing on squelch tails. We had a thing on impulse noise, otherwise known as crackling, that we determined as part of the repeater infrastructure and the environment in which the repeater is placed. Talked about Moxon antennas. Thank you, Tony. Talked about some upcoming fun at Barrow events, including, by the way, this Sunday's meeting at 7:45 at the Red Cross. You can join us at 7 o'clock. We'll be there. And we've talked about jammers. And as an aside, the EPCA of 1996 and my disdain for Mr. Gingrich's lack of leadership on that point. But anyway, enough of that. Those are two things Jim and I can agree on politically. Anyway, the disdain part and the ECPA. But anyway, oh, dear me. Anyway, what else? Are there any other subjects people would like to bring up? This is KTBAR.
Comment, NS2K.
Here we go.
No, no, no. Nothing of the sort. Just a comment about the ticking noise. It almost sounds, it's kind of semi-random in periodicity. It almost sounds like a dangling wire that's got some sort of charge on it. And I would guess it's quite close to the antenna position at the repeater. So while I'm pretty confident that it's not our stuff, if somebody went up there and just kind of moseyed around and checked around, they're liable to find something that's moving in a fashion that might cause this impulse noise. Not that you should try to correct it yourself necessarily, because if it's what I think it is, it has a charge on it, and it could be quite dangerous. Anyway, pure speculation, but probably not entirely in the dark either. NS2K.
Well, the interesting thing is, there's none of that on your signal, on any of your transmissions. So, I'll tell you, just for grins, Ronald, are you still there? Can you make a 10-second transmission for us? Okay. How about you, Al, KT2SAV, could you? Okay. I was looking for signals that just weren't just crushingly loud here. Although Al's was pretty loud to my house. It was probably weaker to the repeater, but anyway. Alrighty. Neither here nor there. But you may very well be right, Jim. You very well may be right. I'm just watching the video from Dirty Jobs, and they appear to be in a rendering plant or a tanning plant. I'm not sure which, but it's pretty ugly. Oh, my. Anyway. Things not to do on your, post-meal time. let's see. What else did I want to bring up? I'll withhold any additional subjects. Are there other people who would like to add more to this conversation in any subject? K2FAZ. K2FAZ. Speak up and go to it. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Gordon. I was listening to the conversation on the Moxon antenna. If you remember last year at the Fox Hunt, I remember the gentleman's name had one, and it worked very well. If you check your email, I just sent you a little application. You put the frequency you want to build your Moxon antenna for, and the gauge of the wire you're using, and it will tell you the exact dimensions and spacing, and show you the model on the screen of that antenna.
That's awesome. That's absolutely awesome. Thank you very much. That's quite useful. Alrighty, by the way, you're a little noisy to the repeater, but you're a little less noisy to my house. You're still crackly. You have the kind of signal I was looking for before. I'm just kind of curious. What town are you in?
I'm in Reno, just south of Flemington. My beam is pointing approximately 40, 50 degrees northeast. Northeast.
And you're in Ringo's?
Affirmative.
Wow, that's awesome. Well, I'm able to hear you on my home antenna, which is very cool. Not really strong, but strong enough.
That's very cool. So I have to run the preamp and get you guys in a little clearer. And on the IC7000, I have the filters, I guess, in the middle. In the middle one. Lack of a better term. There is some crackling, and I get waves in and out. But sounds good.
Well, that's excellent. Alrighty. Well, welcome aboard. Let's see. Anybody else?
K2AMI with questions.
Go ahead, Tony.
I don't have the information, but I've heard that there's a 6-meter sprint coming up real soon. Many of the fellows now have 6 meters on their radio, and they may want to find
some evening to play with the 6 meter sprint. Do you know the details yet?
Alas, I have not looked, but I am doing that right now. ARRL 50 megahertz sprint, and I'll put 2009. I like to tell people what I'm Googling, and we'll see how that works. VHF contest calendar. Let's see. 2009 VHF up and up sprint. May 9th.
Okay, so that's not this weekend, and it's May 9th will be the following week. You got times on that? Is it like 7 to 11 or something?
No, it has a different time frame than the others do. Let's see, what is it? Oh, you're kidding me. Tell me if you can put it in there. Time, give me the time. 2 meter sprint, show me the 6 meter sprint. Okay. It's from, oh no, they did change it. 2300 to 0300. So they did normalize it. They used to have a different period for it. So for the East Coast, yes, it's 7 to 11.
7 to 9 to 11 on the 9th, and of course that goes into the 10th if they're using GMT.
That's correct. The local time is 7 to 11 Eastern Time, Eastern Daylight Time.
Thank you very much.
No, thank you for raising the issue. They would like us to log the sixth character, but a valid contact is still 4. They would like you to log 6 where possible. Pretty. Well, that's another good thing. So a week from Saturday, that's excellent. And I think I'm actually free that night. I'm not so sure my neighbors will like it, but we'll see. Maybe I'll find a different place to operate from. I can do that as well. All right, I must go. So is there anything else on the net? Anybody else have anything they'd like to add to the equation? I thought I had to go, but I absolutely don't need to go quite yet. But if anyone has any questions, comments, or confusions, we can talk about whatever. Okay, well, if anyone's interested in the June 7th Sunday morning, basically, bike event, please let me know, and I'll get the date for the August event. I think it's the 17th or something like that. I don't remember off the top of my head. So I'll have to get that as well, get that straightened out, and we'll figure out what we're going to do. It'll be a lovely thing, I'm sure. So, on that pleasant note, I'll give one more opportunity for someone to chime in with a question, comment, or confusion, and we'll decide what to do after that. This is K2BAR.